Okay, let's talk about data breaches. You hear about them constantly, right? It's this relentless drumbeat in the news, and honestly, it can feel pretty overwhelming. Like, oh, another one.
Almost background noise sometimes.
Exactly. But today, we're not just going to skim the headlines. We're taking a proper deep dive into a really significant recent one, the TransUnion data breach.
Yeah, this one's important.
Our mission here is simple. Cut through that noise. Get past the initial shock and really understand, the specifics. What happened? How does it fit into the bigger picture of cybersecurity threats?
Risk constantly shifting.
Constantly. And most importantly, what steps can you actually take? Because for our audience, understanding this stuff isn't just about knowing, it's about being empowered in, well, a pretty vulnerable digital world.
And this particular breach hitting TransUnion, it really raises the stakes. We're not just talking about any company here. These credit reporting agencies, they're like foundational pillars for our financial identities. They hold so much sensitive data, a massive amount, and the trust we put in them, it's huge. So when that trust gets broken, like it did here, it immediately forces us to ask some tough questions about how well our most vital financial info is protected system-wide.
Okay, so let's dig into the ground zero details. What actually happened?
Well, the core fact is cybercriminals got into TransUnion systems. That's the starting point.
And compromised a lot of data.
A lot. Over 4.4 million customers' personal information, this wasn't minor, happened back on July 28th.
Okay, July 28th. And how did we find out? Was it a big announcement?
Not really, no. It actually came out through official filings, with state attorney general offices, Maine and Texas specifically. It's a common way these things surface, sometimes a bit under the radar initially.
Interesting. So what was the weak point? How did they get in?
The vulnerability, according to those filings, was unauthorized access to a third-party application.
Ah, third party.
Yeah.
Always a potential issue.
Always. This app was apparently storing customer data for TransUnion's U.S. consumer support operations. So maybe not their main credit database directly, but still handling really sensitive customer info.
And what kind of info are we talking about? Because that's key, isn't it?
Absolutely key. And this is where it gets, frankly, alarming. The Texas filings specified full customer names, complete dates of birth, and social security numbers.
Well, the big three.
Exactly. For cybercriminals, that combination, it's basically the master key. It's what they need to unlock someone's entire digital and financial life. It's incredibly valuable on the dark web.
Master keys.
Yeah.
That's a really chilling way to put it. We all know SSNs are bad news if stolen, but those three together, how fast can criminals weaponize that specific combo today?
Oh, incredibly fast. The speed and scale are just terrifying, really. With those three pieces, it's not just about opening one fake credit card. It's potentially a complete financial takeover.
Take over.
Yeah. Think about it. They can file hundreds of fraudulent applications almost immediately. Automated systems help them do this. It creates this cascade of damage that is so complex and difficult for the victim to untangle later. It can ruin credit for years.
And it goes beyond just credit applications, right?
Definitely. This data lets them build much more convincing fake identities. They can try to access existing bank accounts, file false tax returns to steal refunds, misuse medical benefits, even create synthetic identities, mixing real data with fake stuff, which makes it even harder for fraud detection systems to catch.
Okay, so the data compromise was incredibly potent. Now, what about TransUnion's official response? They said something like, no credit information was accessed.
They did. That was their official line, which, on the surface sounds like maybe it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but there's been a noticeable lack of concrete evidence provided to back that up. And when their spokesperson, John Bolton, was asked for more details, the reporting says he basically refused to elaborate beyond what was in those initial state filings.
So kind of stonewalling, what does that do for trust, especially coming from a company like TransUnion?
Well, it leaves a lot of uncertainty, doesn't it? It highlights that classic tension between transparency, which people want, and the company's own legal or security concerns during an ongoing investigation. But the lack of detail does make it hard for individuals and even for us in the security field to fully gauge the real risk here. And TransUnion, I mean, it's one of the big three credit agencies. They have financial records on, what, over 260 million Americans.
Figuring number.
It really is. Their whole role is determining creditworthiness for mortgages, car loans, even jobs sometimes. That makes them a prime target, a super high value target for anyone wanting large scale data. A breach there isn't just a leak, it's a potential systemic risk. It can ripple out and affect someone's entire financial future.
That systemic risk point is crucial because this TransUnion breach, it doesn't exist in a vacuum, does it? It feels like they're just the latest name on this like rapidly growing list of major companies getting hit.
Oh, absolutely. It's not isolated at all. If you connect the dots, you see this disturbing pattern across loads of different sectors.
Like who else?
Well, think about it. Major insurance companies have reported big data compromises recently. Several large retail chains. Even transportation and airlines have had issues.
Right. I remember some of those headlines.
And it's not just, you know, companies you might think are less tech savvy. Even major technology giants themselves haven't been immune. It really drives home the point that nobody is completely bulletproof. The attack surface is just enormous now.
So if even the tech giants are vulnerable, are there specific patterns emerging? Why are these attacks working so often right now? I think I saw something mentioned, a Salesforce connection.
Yeah, that's a very sharp observation. There has been a noticeable cluster. Several big names, Google, the insurance giant Alliance Life, Cisco, even the HR company Workday, they've all reported breaches that specifically involved customer data stored in their Salesforce-hosted cloud databases.
Okay, so that's definitely not a coincidence.
Exactly. Doesn't seem like it. It strongly suggests either a shared vulnerability somewhere in that ecosystem or perhaps a very targeted campaign against companies using that specific widely adopted cloud service. In fact, Google actually attributed some of these attacks to a known extortion group called Shiny Hunters.
Shiny Hunters. Okay, for listeners who might not follow these groups closely, what's their deal? What makes them stand out?
Shiny Hunters are, well, notorious. They specialize in large-scale data theft, often targeting cloud storage, databases, that sort of thing. Their typical move is to steal the data and then demand a hefty ransom from the company.
And if the company doesn't pay?
If the demands aren't met, Shiny Hunters are usually pretty quick to leak the stolen data onto dark web forums. This maximizes the damage, pressures future victims, and lets other criminals buy and misuse the data. Their involvement just underscores how organized and sophisticated these cybercrime operations have become.
It's serious business.
Very serious. And this whole situation, the Salesforce connection, Shiny Hunters, it just throws a spotlight on the ongoing weaknesses in how big companies protect our data, especially when third-party apps and cloud storage get involved.
Because it adds complexity.
Exactly. Relying on external services offers benefits like efficiency and scalability, sure, but it inherently adds layers of complexity and risk. Companies basically inherit the security posture of their vendors. So one weak link in that whole supply chain.
Bring down the house.
Pretty much. It's a distributed risk model. And maintaining a perfectly watertight defense across all those partners, it's incredibly difficult. You're often only as strong as your weakest link or your weakest partner's security.
Okay, so this landscape is complex. It's vulnerable. Let's bring it back to the individual. What does this all mean for you listening right now if your data might have been part of this TransUnion breach? The risks for those 4.4 million people sound significant.
They are significant and deeply personal. It's way more than just an inconvenience. With your full name, your date of birth, and your social security number out there, the malicious things criminals can do are extensive.
We talked about fraudulent accounts, loans.
Right, but also filing false tax returns to steal your refund, trying to access your existing financial accounts. Even medical identity theft, which can mess up your health records and insurance.
Wow, medical too.
Yes. And remember, this kind of high-value data often gets sold and resold on dark web marketplaces. It can be used by different criminals for years down the line, making the cleanup process just incredibly long and difficult. The potential for long-term damage is very real.
So, okay, active vigilance is key. If you are affected, or even if you're just a TransUnion customer who's concerned now, which is probably wise, what are the immediate proactive steps you should be taking, like right now?
Okay, first things first, monitor your credit reports. And not just TransUnion's. Check all three major bureaus, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. You're entitled to free reports regularly.
Okay, monitor all three. What else?
Place fraud alerts on your accounts. This flags your credit file, basically telling lenders to take extra steps to verify your identity before opening any new credit line in your name. It makes it harder for the criminals.
Fraud alerts. Got it. Is there anything stronger?
Yes. Definitely consider credit freezes. A freeze essentially locks down your credit file, blocking almost anyone from accessing it to open new accounts.
So nobody can open anything unless you unfreeze it.
Exactly. You'd have to temporarily thaw your credit yourself if you actually need to apply for a loan or a credit card. It's a bit more work for you, but it's arguably the strongest protection against new account fraud.
Freeze seems like a really good idea then. Anything else beyond credit reports?
Just general vigilance. Keep a very close eye on all your financial accounts. Check your bank statements regularly. Review credit card bills line by line. Even look at explanation of benefits statements from your health insurance. Look for anything suspicious, anything you don't recognize.
Okay, that's a solid checklist. Monitor reports, place alerts, consider freezes, and stay vigilant on all accounts. Now, people listening probably have questions popping up, like, how do I even know for sure if my specific data was part of this breach?
That's a common one. Legally, TransUnion is required to notify affected individuals directly. They have to send out notices.
But should people wait for a notice?
Honestly, given the scale here and just the general climate of breaches, it's probably wisest for any TransUnion customer to just assume they might have been affected and take those precautions anyway. Better safe than sorry. Don't necessarily wait for a letter that might get lost or delayed.
Good advice. And how long do you need to keep monitoring everything? Is it like for a year?
Experts really recommend monitoring. Oh. Indefinitely.
Indefinitely. Wow.
Yeah. Stolen information can sit dormant on the dark web for years before someone tries to use it. The highest risk period is often considered the first year after a breach. That's when you see the most activity usually. But the threat doesn't just vanish after 12 months. Vigilance needs to be a long-term habit, unfortunately.
Okay. Indefinitely it is. Let's go back to that claim TransUnion made. No credit information was accessed. Does that mean my actual credit score or my existing credit history file is totally safe from this specific incident?
It's a bit nuanced. What TransUnion likely means is that the attackers didn't directly pull your credit report file from their core system in this breach.
Okay.
However, the personal info they did get, name, birth date, SSN, those are precisely the keys needed to try and access your credit information through other channels.
I see.
A criminal could use that info to impersonate you when talking to a bank, or maybe use it to pass security questions online to get access to your credit report somewhere else. So while the direct breach might not have hit the credit file itself, the tools to potentially compromise your financial identity were stolen. From a risk perspective, that distinction might not feel very comforting.
Right. The keys are out there, even if they didn't take the whole car immediately. Okay, what about legal options? If someone suffers identity theft because of this, can they sue TransUnion?
Legal action is potentially possible, yes. Things like class action lawsuits often emerge after major breaches. But success really depends on a lot of factors. Can you prove direct harm? What were the specifics of the company's security failures? State laws vary too. If you think you've suffered actual damages, the best advice is always to consult with a qualified attorney who specializes in this area.
Makes sense. And often after breaches, companies offer free credit monitoring. Has TransUnion announced anything like that for this incident?
As of our recording, TransUnion has not yet announced a free credit monitoring program specifically tied to this July breach. People should keep an eye on TransUnion's official website and communications for any updates on that front.
Okay, check their site. Another question people might have, can I just close my account with TransUnion? Get my data out of there.
It doesn't really work like that with credit bureaus. You don't typically have a voluntary account with TransUnion like you do with, say, your bank or a streaming service.
Right. They collect data about you.
Exactly. They gather information from lenders, courts, public records. It's part of how the credit system functions. So your information is in their database, whether you actively open an account or not. There isn't really an account for you to close to remove your core credit data.
Gotcha. So what is TransUnion likely doing now to prevent this from happening again?
Well, typically after a major incident like this, companies launch intensive internal investigations. They'll likely be strengthening their cybersecurity protocols, conducting thorough audits of their systems and their third-party vendors, maybe implementing new security technologies or procedures. These breaches are usually a massive wake-up call and a catalyst for significant security overhauls, although they rarely detail all the specifics publicly.
Okay, so to wrap up this deep dive then, we've looked at the TransUnion breach, the scale, the really sensitive personal data involved, and crucially, how it fits into this wider, frankly troubling pattern of sophisticated cyber attacks hitting major companies, often through these complex third-party links.
Yeah, the supply chain risk is huge.
It really is.
Yeah.
And the most critical takeaway, I think, for everyone listening is just the absolute importance of proactive personal vigilance. We really can't afford to be passive about protecting our digital identities anymore.
Absolutely. And, you know, this whole situation, this breach, it really pushes us to ask a bigger question, doesn't it? It's something maybe to reflect on. Like
what?
Like how much responsibility should these huge corporations actually bear for protecting our data, especially when they choose to rely so heavily on third-party vendors and cloud services? Where does their responsibility end and the vendors begin? It creates this distributed risk.
That's a tough one.
It is. And how do we as individuals balance the undeniable convenience and necessity of all these digital services we use every day with these ever-present, constantly evolving risks of having our data compromised? It's this fundamental tension in our modern interconnected world. It means we not only need to protect ourselves, but maybe also think more critically about demanding better security and more accountability from the systems holding all the sensitive information about us. It's a conversation that definitely needs to keep evolving just as fast as the threats are.